Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
Thanks for joining me on Special Edition. I'm Paula Dagnan. This week, if you have a family recipe that you would like to get out of the attic and get it on the stove, we'll tell you how it can happen. We're also going to find out about the Kids Count data book analyzing Pennsylvania child health and well-being. The second annual Rhythm and Wine Festival to benefit Big Brothers and Big Sisters is coming up. Of course, all the details will be right here. We're also going to find out about the upcoming fundraiser Valley with a Heart, helping Luzerne County families who care for their seriously ill children for 21 years. But starting us off, PennDOT District 4 has a hiring event coming up this Wednesday. Jessica Ruddy is here. She has all the details.
Hi, Paula. We are having hiring events at each of our locations in each county. So that encompasses Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Susquehanna, Wayne, and Wyoming counties, and also in our district office in Dunmore.
And what are you looking for? That's a wide range of places.
Unfortunately, to say, we are looking for winter services. So we're looking for people with CDLs that can drive the snowplow trucks. We're looking for dispatchers, custodial. We're looking for a variety of positions. We also have permanent positions available in the engineering world and also some clericals. So I definitely would encourage anyone to apply.
When we're talking about hiring and PennDOT, you did say that there was an opportunity for something to happen in the future. So are these mostly part-time on-call positions when people are first hearing about this?
Well, for the winter services positions, yes, they start out as temporary. And if there is a spot that opens up, or if we feel that you are a good fit for PennDOT, we would definitely be offering you a full-time permanent position. And in fact, I know a lot of highway foremen that have started out in temporary winter services positions and have been here for about 20, 30 years.
Wow. You mentioned CDLs. Anything else that for, and again, you have so many positions that are open. Do you have kind of a list of here's what you might need depending on what you're applying for?
Yes. Anyone can, from the comfort of their home, go on their computer and go to www.employment.pa.gov. You can see the variety of positions that are available, and I'll have all of the qualifications and the pay rates listed right there in the listing.
And with these hiring events that we're going to be giving the rundown on in just a few moments, are there things that people would need to bring with them? Because again, I know you can get a lot of the information on the website, but just in case somebody's hearing this today and you tell them you have to bring a this, they might be able to say, oh, I know exactly where to get that, or I might have to find that.
Generally, when people are coming in for a job interview, you'll need to have an email address that is working so that you can fill out the employment application, whether it's through the online portal or in person. I would bring a driver's license, birth certificate, and or passport would be proof of residency. And also, if you have your CDL license, that obviously would help you out if you'd like to take a CDL test. We will be having an open house here in the Dunmore office. So if you'd like to get a feel of, you know, who you'd be working with, what the environment is like, you'll be able to get a tour also.
All right. Well, let's get right into that then. You mentioned the Dunmore office and the other places. Are they going to be at their locations or how is that going to work?
Yes, we will have representatives at each location, as I said, from 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. We will be here to help you, walk you through the process if needed, give you a tour of the facility, and get to meet some of the people that are there working.
So even if you're interested in an area that's outside of Lackawanna County, you can go to any of the PennDOT offices, but in Dunmore, you get a tour.
Correct. If you're looking for where you can go, what the closest location is for you in your county, you can go on PennDOT.gov and you can check out District 4. That is, like I said, Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Susquehanna, Wayne, and Wyoming counties. And you can look up the address for each stockpile there.
Well, I have to say, I'm on the website now, and all of your questions could be answered right here. I mean, there, what type of transportation equipment operator experience and training that you have? Are you willing to work outside in adverse weather conditions? Which I think is probably important for those who are going to be having to deal with that white stuff.
Definitely. Some people do not like the cold. They cannot tolerate the cold. So, you know, if you're going to be out there and you're going to be plowing or doing maintenance on the roadways in the winter, might not be the position for you, but there are other positions available.
The other thing I find interesting is it also asks in which counties are you interested and available to work. So you can actually not just look in Lackawanna County if you live in Lackawanna, or Luzerne if you live in Luzerne. You could even decide you want to travel a little bit.
Absolutely. As long as you live in Pennsylvania, you'll be able to find a position in any county in Pennsylvania. We are hiring across the state.
There are so many different opportunities here, and everything is there on the website. Jessica, if you can just go through and once again, give everybody the information, and definitely mention that website, because that is a veritable goldmine of information.
Next Wednesday, August 17th, we are hosting hiring events in each of our counties in District 4. If you cannot make it out on next Wednesday from 2 until 6, please check us out at www.employment.pa.gov. All the positions can be found there. Either search by your county or you can search by PennDOT, and all the positions will come up along with the qualifications.
That's this Wednesday, August 17th. Now we meet John Davis, who says it's all about the kids. Valley with a Heart Benefit is coming up. John, when is it?
Labor Day Sunday. Valley with a Heart Benefits, we've been doing this since 2001. It's become an annual event, and it's just grown so much over the years. And we typically see a couple thousand people come through the gates each year. And the reason we do this, and this is, you know, we talk about the ride and we talk about the party, and everybody knows all about that. Gates open at 7 a.m. for registration and breakfast, and the ride leaves at 11 o'clock. The entertainment starts at 12:30 in the afternoon, and it goes right through till about 10 o'clock when we have a fireworks display, all sorts of vendors, and there's kids' activities and plenty of food, plenty of ice cold beer. The kind of a bizarre type of event, similar to a church bazaar or fire company bazaar. But what I want to really talk about is the kids, because I don't think we talk about that enough. Every penny that we raise, this is a 100% volunteer organization. Nobody takes home a paycheck from this. And every penny that we raise helps seriously ill children right here in Luzerne County. I had the occasion this past weekend to meet a 12-year-old boy from here in Luzerne County who has an arachnoid cyst on his brain. He has undergone 2 brain surgeries in the last couple of months, and he was up. He was walking around. I actually met them at Walgreens in Kingston, and he was up and he was walking around and he was cracking jokes, and I was absolutely amazed that this kid has been through what he's been through these last few months. And, you know, mom and dad have had to take time away from work. They've chewed up vacation time. They've chewed up personal days. And you know, money's starting to get tight. You know, and they're in the same boat the rest of us are with gas prices as they are and inflation, you know, as it is. And those are the kind of families that we're here to help. We do what we can to help them with travel expenses. Most times with these serious illnesses, these families have to travel out of the area for treatments. And that's what we're here to help them with, is to make sure that they're keeping their heads above water. Again, we've been doing it for 21 years, and we're going to continue to do it.
21 years ago, What sparked the very first Valley with a Heart benefits?
Most good stories start with these couple of guys were in a bar, and it's true. There were a handful of guys in a bar, and one of the fellas that was there, his niece was 12 years old at the time, and she was a cancer patient. The family was struggling, and the guys all sitting around us, you know, we need to do something to help these folks out. And they put together what became the first Valley with a Heart benefit on Labor Day weekend of 2001. And it became just more successful than they ever imagined it could have been. And this young lady's name was Elise Harrison, and she kept the diary. And she wrote, she was there helping out and pitching in as best she could on that day. And when she got home that evening, she wrote a passage in her diary that we actually have on our website. You can see that entry from her diary on her website at valleywithaheart.com. I can't read it without getting choked up. And she explained what that day meant to her and all these people coming up to support me and help my family. And that's kind of what spurred us on to keep doing this. And we decided to make it an annual event. We didn't in our wildest dreams, and we never imagined that this would grow to the institution, basically, that it's become in Luzerne County.
It mentions on the flyer that you have and on your, which is on your website, Paige and Jocelyn. Who are they?
Paige is 4 years old. Jocelyn, I believe, is seven. And they're both residents of Luzerne County, and they each have their own situations with some serious health issues. Paige, I know her background considerably more. She has a condition that she has, on average, her mother told me, about 8 seizures every month. She is 4 years old. She does not speak. She cannot stand on her own. She cannot sit on her own. She can't walk. This is a 4-year-old little girl. And actually, if you pay attention to our Facebook page, which is Valley with a Heart Benefits VWHB on Facebook, I'm going to be putting up some background stories on both of these girls in the next week or so. And the one on Paige will be published probably in the next couple of days. But absolutely beautiful little girl. And the family is doing everything they can to get her treated and get her well. And we're doing what we can to help them out.
And it's not only, though, for Paige and Jocelyn, this event that's coming up. How do you do that then? John, how do you get others involved? How do you find out about the kids and the families that need help?
Paul, I am so glad you asked me that question, because it's something we don't talk about enough. With HIPAA laws being what they are, we can't get a phone call from a doctor or a hospital or a nurse to say, hey, I've got this family, you know, the Smith family from Wilkes-Barre, and they have this little boy, and they can't do that because of HIPAA laws. So the families have to find us. So we will make sure that every doctor, every nurse, every pharmacist, anybody in the medical field that we run into, we make sure and hand them a couple of business cards. Look, if you have a family in this kind of situation, give them our information. Let them know we're here. Let them know we're here to help. Because as long as we've been doing this and as much publicity as we get, I mean, there's still a lot of folks out there that don't know who we are and what we do. A lot of times it'll be a referral from, you know, another family member or a friend, or, hey, are you familiar with Valley with a Heart? Like, they're here to help you. So, yes, absolutely. Something that I can't stress enough for your listeners is, if you know someone in this kind of situation in Luzerne County with a child under the age of 18 and there's a serious illness of some sort and these families are struggling, please refer them to us or give us a call and refer us to them. We'll be happy to talk to them. All of our information is on both our website. Again, that's valleywithaheart.com. The information is on our Facebook page at Valley with a Heart Benefits, VWHB on Facebook. And the information is there. But that's one of the toughest jobs that we have, is finding families to help because of HIPAA laws.
I can understand that. And when the help does come, John, in what form does that help come?
Okay, well, once we get in contact with a family, there is an application. It does need to be signed by the physician that's treating the child. You can't be too careful. And one thing I'll stress, we do not just hand cash to people. We will give people gas cards, prepaid gas cards, if they need help with travel expenses. We have helped people with rent. We have helped people with utility bills. We have helped people pay for medications that weren't covered by insurance and things like that. One family I remember from a few years ago, a little boy had a condition called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. Please don't ask me how I remember that, but I always remember that condition. They had to, kind of like a diabetic with the finger sticks, with the test strips. And the test strips were about $600 a month. And they were struggling to pay for those. We found a place where we could buy those wholesale, and we were able to purchase a 6-month supply of those test strips for these folks and give them to them. So everybody's needs are different. Some folks need a little bit of help. Some folks need a little more help. And we do what we can in each case.
Anybody who lives in Luzerne County and has a child under the age of 18, you're looking for them in order to reach out to you. And you said there's an application that has to be signed by a physician. At this point, do you think you're making inroads with physicians and with other people? Because they must see your application come across their desk.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We definitely have a much better response, I guess I should say, as compared to years ago. You know, the healthcare professionals know we're out there. They get the word out to these families. You know, and a lot of families, I'll be honest with you, Paul, a lot of families are just too darn proud to ask for help. But maybe a grandmother will step in. Maybe an aunt or an uncle will step in, and they'll make us aware of it. And we reach out to them and, hey, we're here. What can we do for you? But yes, response has grown. Just like the success of the event itself has grown over the years, so has the response from families in need. So it's enabled us to help a lot of families over the years.
And of course, the big event is what helps all of these families, because you're there, you're raising money. And we talked about the kids, and I think there are probably a lot of people saying, yeah, I want to be able to help. So now, John, we want to know where this is, when this is. Give us all the details.
Now we'll talk about the fun stuff. So it's Labor Day Sunday. It is at the St. Faustina Grove in the Shaytown section in Nanticoke. The gates open at 8:00 in the morning for registration for the ride and breakfast. We have actually an acoustic duo that will start playing at 10 a.m. And then the ride leaves at 11:00. They are out on the road for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. The first band in the afternoon starts at 12:30. We've got, I believe, 13 bands playing that afternoon on two stages. The music goes nonstop all afternoon, right into the evening. And then we wrap it all up with a fireworks display at 10:00. There are kids' activities. There are vendors. There's a ton of food. You know, the cold beer will be flowing all afternoon. So there's literally something for everybody.
And I believe you also have some sponsors that are helping you out. Would you like to give them a shout out?
Absolutely. We have so many sponsors, but our corporate level sponsors. We have the Yallock Insurance Company from Mountaintop. We have Riley Plating is a corporate sponsor. We have R Barn and Grill in Nanticoke. We have One Stop Auto Service in Nanticoke. Joe Dan Motors from up in Lackawanna County is also a corporate sponsor. And we also have Halliday Trucking, who has been a sponsor for us for many years. And Skysure Displays with the fireworks display at the end of the evening. Those guys are awesome.
Well, it sounds, again, like if it's going for 21 years, John, I think you're doing something right.
21 years, and we've only ever had bad weather twice that I can think of. So apparently the good Lord's smiling on what we're doing.
And one COVID, but hey, who's counting?
Yeah, you know.
And as far as admission is concerned, and when you're talking about the ride, we're talking motorcycles. And so that's a little bit different than just general admission?
Yes. The ride is limited to motorcycles. We don't allow cars in there. It just gets entirely too confusing when you start mixing, you know, cars and trucks in. So the admission is $15 for the rider, $10 for a passenger. If you don't have a motorcycle and you're not into the motorcycle thing, that's fine. You can show up for the afternoon's festivities. General admission is $5. And again, this is all about kids. So kids 12 and under are free.
Anything else, John, that we may have not touched on that you want to make sure our listeners know about?
Well, again, 21 years and it's become a great event. If you've never been there, you got to come out and see what it's all about. We have a real good time and you'll see old friends, you'll make new friends, and the weather's always good for us. And we're just trying to raise money and help a lot of sick kids. And that's what we do.
John Davis with details on the upcoming Valley with a Heart benefit. And more importantly, if you or someone you know needs help, you can get in touch with them at their Facebook page or valleywithaheart.com. Next on Special Edition, another fundraiser, this one for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we're going to find out Kids Count on Special Edition. Now on Special Edition, another fundraiser, this one to help the kids with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Executive Director Michelle Hamilton has the details on the Rhythm and Wine Festival. Michelle, welcome. Nice to have you here. And you have a big event coming up. But first, maybe you can give our listeners just a little bit of the background, because we've all heard of Big Brothers Big Sisters. Maybe you can give us some of the details.
Oh, sure. So we're a nonprofit that serves youth ages 7 to 14 in a one-to-one mentoring relationship. And we provide a great support to youth who are in need of an extra support in their life. And we get volunteers throughout our 11-county service area to match up with those youth who are on the wait list. We have a lot of children on the wait list, so we're always looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in becoming a volunteer, please give us a call. You know, we've got mentors that have been with their littles, we call them, for 10 years until they graduate high school. So it's a wonderful program. It shows great outcomes for our youth, you know, increased graduation rates to building self-confidence. It actually is even, you know, shows great outcomes for our volunteers. They say they love it as much as the littles do.
And when we're talking about volunteers, for someone who might have heard about the program or they're hearing it for the first time, what would they expect? Because again, you're dealing with children, so I'm assuming that they must have to go through a process.
So we do have a process. We have an application, an interview process. We provide an orientation, and we also provide a lot of training so they understand positive youth development, do those background checks and references, and make sure that our volunteers are ready and able to mentor a child. And our expectation is really for our mentors, we call them bigs, to spend at least 1 to 3 hours a week with their little and for at least 1 year. And we know that if you mentor a child for at least 1 year, the outcomes are much stronger than they would be if it was for less of a time. So we really expect that we have that year commitment from our volunteers.
And again, when we're talking about the program, it doesn't seem that a lot of people would be standoffish because you're dealing with children. So how do you set them up if they don't necessarily have a lot of experience with children, but they would like to be able to see this generation grow up and continue on?
Sure. Sure. So we have, like I mentioned, we do a lot of training. You know, we provide training to our volunteers before they get matched. We also make sure that we're matching our youth to our volunteers with a like-minded, you know, similar interests. So if there's one child that's really interested in baseball or sports, then we look at those volunteers who may have the same interests, or science, or any of those type of characteristics. And also we provide match support throughout the life of their relationship. So once per month, we have a program specialist that calls the big, calls the little, and talks to the family to make sure that the relationship is going well and that it's moving towards some of the goals that the littles have set and the parents have set for their youth. So handling any kind of concerns or making sure that they have resources. So that's one of the roles of our program specialist.
How did the children get involved?
So we do get referrals, self-referrals from parents. We get referrals from schools, you know, any youth serving organization that might, you know of a child that's in need, therapy. Maybe they're going through therapy and that they think that might be a good extra support for the child. So many different ways.
And if you are thinking about getting involved, whether it is from referring a child or being a volunteer, how would they get in touch with you?
So we do have a website. Go to that website. It's www.bbbsnepa.org, or give us a call, 570-824-8756. And one of our program specialists can help you. Like I mentioned earlier, we have 11 counties. So some of our staff are situated in different counties, and we can direct you to the right program specialist.
You are indeed 11 counties. That covers a lot of area.
A lot of territory.
When we're talking about the kids again, what are the age groups? Because I know you mentioned staying with a child for a year. Is there a certain age that you're dealing with that they come into the program and can stay to the end of the program?
Actually, I mentioned before we were 7 to 14, but we actually just switched that from 6 to 16. So you can be enrolled between that age group up until you graduate high school. Once you're graduated, of course, you can still stay, and many do stay in touch, but we just, at that point, they've aged out of the program.
I know that it takes a lot of volunteers and, of course, a lot of donations and donors in order to keep all these programs going. And you have a big event coming up, a Rhythm and Wine Festival. You've got my attention. So, Michelle, give us the details.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, this is our second year for our Rhythm and Wine, and we're going to be at Moonlight Drive-In in West Wyoming from 12 to 4 on August 27th. Come join us. We've got prestigious wineries, cideries, breweries, and some wonderful food vendors for you to enjoy. We also have an award-winning band, Down by Five. They'll be coming in from the Scranton area. Then they are such a fun band to dance to. So they'll be there, and tickets are on sale. You can get them at our website. Go to bbbsnepa.org. Price is $40, and that gets you a tasting at all of the wineries or the cideries, and I'll give you a little bit of a hint of who they are. So we've got the Staggering Unicorn Winery, local Lucci Family Wine Cellars. We've got Stone Lake Winery. We've got cider, so Deep Roots Hard Cider will be there. Nomad Distilling, Case Quattro, Susquehanna Brewing, and Bartoli Winery. So we have, at this point, 8 wineries. We're still, I think we have one more coming in, not confirmed yet. And then we've got so many great food vendors coming. So with your wine pairing, you'll have Keystone Farms cheese. We love French fries. Fondipity is a local food truck, and we've got Yogi's potato pancakes, Sugar Plum for, you know, some desserts, and Marinacci's. My favorite, the Fiamma Rosa pizza. It's an amazing pizza, and Pittston popcorn, and Notice the Hero King.
I can't believe you're going to make us wait until August 27th because my taste buds are going already. Do you need more?
We do need a few more of the wineries. We could use one or two, but we're set for the food trucks right now. And I think there's enough variety for everybody.
If it is that someone is listening of the wine variety and they say, oh, listen to that, they need me there too, how can they find out about it?
Sure. Just give us a call at 570-824-8756. You can ask for Michelle Hamilton, and we'll get you all the paperwork. It is a $125 vendor fee that we ask. Again, this is a fundraiser, and you know, all proceeds go to the program and the matching and our program specialist work that we do. And also we do engagement activities for our matches and our and children that are on our wait list. So the funds will go towards those activities.
What are they?
So we just went to Knoebels. We had families and their littles and the volunteers come together to Knoebels. We're going to Wilkes-Barre Scranton Rail Riders, so we provide tickets for that game. We've done things in the past that are just unique and fun, like goat yoga and just some fun fall things that we do and provide those opportunities for the matches to meet.
And again, I think people might be listening and say, well, wait a minute, they've been there and there, but I have this that I'd like to offer them. Again, is that a possibility?
Oh, of course. If anyone's listening and has a great outdoor or fun activity that we could partake in, please give us a call. We would love to entertain the ideas, and we're always looking for different fun activities that they can get out to.
Well, Michelle, you certainly have plenty to do, and we want to make sure that everybody comes because the Rhythm and Wine Festival sounds like it's going to be spectacular. So I'm going to turn the microphone back over to you. You can issue the official invitation.
Well, welcome to the second annual Rhythm and Wine event. Please give us a call or find us on our website and purchase your tickets for a great cause. Thank you so much.
Michelle Hamilton from Big Brothers Big Sisters. Now don't go away, the Kids Count data book is out, and if you have a recipe that's lost, we'll tell you how you can find it on Special Edition.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How does Pennsylvania stack up in child health and well-being? Lisa Hamilton, president and CEO of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, has the Kids Count data book. Lisa, maybe you can start off by giving us a little bit of the background of the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
The Annie E. Casey Foundation focuses on building a brighter future for children, families, and communities. And we focus in a number of areas, keeping children in their families and making families stronger, making sure families have economic stability, and ensuring that kids get to grow up in strong neighborhoods.
And that's probably why you have the Kids Count data book. And I know Pennsylvania is mentioned in there. Can you tell us a little bit about where we rank?
Well, the Casey Foundation's Kids Count data book presents national and state data on 16 indicators in four areas of child well-being around their economic, education, health, and family and community factors. And we rank states according to how children fare in each of these areas. Pennsylvania is around the middle of the ranking. It's ranked 21st this year, which means that there are certainly ways that Pennsylvania is investing to help children thrive, but also ways that Pennsylvania and all states can continue to ensure children have what they need to be successful.
Probably one of the biggest impacts has been the COVID pandemic and the different things that so many of us, especially children, have gone through. Did it address that as well?
It does. In this year's data book, in addition to those 16 indicators, we focus on the issue of mental health and the crisis that America's young people are experiencing. And it certainly reflects the turmoil of the past several years that young people have experienced. We want all young people to be successful, but the Surgeon General and others have highlighted how much young people are experiencing issues like anxiety and depression. And so we want to make policymakers aware of this information so that they can take steps to make sure that our children have what they need to be successful, like meeting their basic needs, having access to mental health services in the places where they need it, like schools, and making sure that all children have health insurance so that they can get their mental health needs met.
And when we talk about these things, Lisa, I think a lot of people just automatically think, well, kids are like little Gumbies, you know, they just kind of go along. But you're finding, of course, that these things do impact children. So you mentioned state and national policymakers. What can they do in order to help that and hopefully the trickle down effect into local communities?
Well, we know that children and families have experienced a lot of financial uncertainty over the last several years, and that weighs heavily on children. When children live in under-resourced communities, they experience stress from safety and security concerns. When students are dealing with mental health issues, they may not be able to focus in the classroom. And when they don't have insurance, they can't get the mental health services they need. So in the report, we really highlight the need to make sure that children and families have access to food and stable housing and safe neighborhoods, because that makes such a difference to their mental health and overall well-being. And making sure that students have access to mental health services can have a tremendous impact on these issues, along with health insurance. So there are a lot of things that policymakers can do to make sure that our children have the support that they need.
And staying along the lines with the same thought of policymakers, we have many communities. And as I said, the trickle-down effect from the policymakers that might be at the state level or the federal level. And then we have the local level, who you would think probably have the best finger on exactly what's going on in their communities, even if they're not policymakers. Is there anything that people in communities can do in order to help the situation?
Well, the Kids Count data book provides data at the national and state level, but local policymakers can also access local data on our Kids Count Data Center. So anyone who's interested in data related to their local community can read the data book and get more localized information by going to www.aecf.org to find out how children are faring in their local community.
How does the foundation get the information? Is there a series of questionnaires that are sent out, or where does all the specific data come from?
The data in the Kids Count data book is drawn from federal and state statistical sources. So we collect information based on government resources, such as the American Community Survey that's connected to the census and the National Survey of Children's Health. So we use federal and state statistical sources.
Again, when we're talking about help, the Annie E. Casey Foundation also offers grant opportunities. How would that work?
The foundation invests in specific areas, and anyone who is interested in learning about our grant making can learn more at our website at aecf.org.
And Lisa, before I let you go, I just want you to reiterate all of the things that you have found in the most recent Kids Count data report. And again, let our listeners know where they can go to get more information on that and how they may be able to help their own communities.
This year's Kids Count data book presents national and state data on 16 indicators of child well-being. And we see good news in some of the economic well-being measures that show that before the pandemic, conditions were improving for children, and that policy decisions like expansion of the child tax credit were really helping a lot of families keep food on the table and a roof over their heads. But we are concerned about a number of the health indicators that we see. Child and teen deaths are up, obesity is up, and more children are being born at a low birth weight. But we know that there is a lot that policymakers can do, and we hope that this data helps them prioritize child well-being and to, in particular, pay attention to the mental health of young people in their state. They can learn more at www.aecf.org.
And I have to say, I've had the opportunity, as we have been even speaking here, to take a look at the website, and there is great information in there, even to the fact of, again, like you said, you can look up your own state, and you look up on Pennsylvania, and it gives you all kinds of information by county, school district, municipality. It's really something that if anybody has any questions or concerns, it's a great resource.
Thank you so much. We hope that everyone will use this data, practitioners and policymakers, to ensure we do the best for all of our children.
Lost Family Recipes Found Again. Casey Korn, classically trained chef and culinary anthropologist, tells us how and about her new Magnolia Network show, Recipe Lost and Found. Casey, first explain to me, classically trained chef, I get that. Culinary anthropologist? What's that mean?
Well, food is the most universal thing that we as humans do, aside really from the food anthropologist, is understand how food makes us who we are and also how it connects us and, you know, brings us together.
I understand that what you're doing is you're looking back into recipes that have been maybe hidden away in the attic someplace in a locked up chest. So what do we do when we find these things? Because we remember them tasting very good, but can we reproduce them?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of recipes that families know and love, unfortunately, get, as you say, you know, locked up in an attic somewhere and forgotten about, or just lost to time. And everyone has those memories of things they love and want to eat again. So what I do is help people find those recipes so they can bring them back into their family repertoire.
Well, I know from my own experience, I have a few little books that my great aunts meticulously wrote out things. But Casey, a dash, a pinch, a little, what do?
You try a dash, a pinch, a little, and see if it works. And then, you know, these families are the people who remember the flavors the best. I can only help guide them, you know, with my expertise on how to try that dash, try that pinch, and keep adjusting until it tastes just right.
And what is that your favorite part? Because you've already begun working with families to create these lost recipes.
That is absolutely a fun part. I also just love to eat. So, you know, getting to try these family recipes that are not my own family recipes is so wonderful. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of eating that goes into the working of these recipes, and that's also a really fun part.
I probably shouldn't tell a classically trained chef, but I hate to cook. And I sit there.
I'll forgive you.
Thank you. And I look at all of these wonderful recipes that I remember growing up as a kid, and I say, oh, there was actually one that I was able to reproduce. But when people look at these recipes, there's no microwave. There's so much more that goes into them. So how do you spark them to get going?
Well, you know, most people really feel passionate about this. They miss this recipe. It's something that's been, you know, eating at the back of their mind that they just can't have this recipe anymore. So the people that come to me are just as passionate as I am about finding this lost dish and bringing it back into the fold. So that makes it really easy, quite honestly.
And of course, when we go to restaurants and we look at a menu, it'll say my great grandma's secret sauce or, you know, grandpa's horseradish or something to that effect. So now just between you and me, Casey, are there really these secrets out there or are they just trying to get you to try it?
Great question. You know, I think, yes, there are absolutely some secrets, but also the thing that we love about family recipes is that the people who cook them are not trained chefs. They're not doing everything by the book. So, you know, maybe grandma burned the potatoes and that's what you remember and love about that dish, but, you know, it's not going to occur to you, oh, maybe I should burn the potatoes, because so many people cook now from cookbooks, from YouTube videos. They're learning the, you know, real techniques, but that's not what grandma did. She burned the potatoes. So, well, yes, it might not necessarily be a secret ingredient. It might be, you know, just the little flavor of grandma that is what's elusive.
Casey, sometimes I wonder how I got to be as old as I am, because as I said, the great aunts, they would do, and they'd make a cake and they'd say, come on down, the bowl's ready. Now what? You don't do that today.
You know, it's so interesting how these recipes evolve over time and what we remember about them. And ultimately, for me, yes, I'm going to get you as close as I possibly can to the actual recipe. But if I can recreate the memory, the nostalgia, the comfort that these people remember, that's really what I want to do for them.
And of course, folks do have an opportunity to see you do all of this. Tell us about this program.
So my show is called Recipe Lost and Found. It airs on Discovery Plus and the Magnolia app. And it's all about me helping families recreate their lost recipes. A family will come to me with a recipe that has sadly been lost to time or, you know, somebody passing away. And they just don't have the information on how to recreate this. So I help them go through their own family history, the historical influences at the time, and really start putting together the puzzle pieces that went into this recipe. Not everybody has the skills to really, as you said, you know, go through each minute dash and pinch and figure out how this recipe came together to what they remember. So that's why I'm there to help them.
How did you ever come up with this? Is it something from your own background?
So I just love how food and history and culture come together. I was approached with this problem of, you know, family recipes get lost and can this, you know, be something that you do? And I said, absolutely. This sounds amazing. I'd love to do this for people. You know, people reach out to me and ask for help with their family cookbooks or, you know, specific issues that they just can't quite figure out. And everybody's got some information. You know, some people know some of the ingredients. Some people remember the bowl it was cooked in. But everybody's just missing some little thing. And so fortunately, my expertise is, you know, the culinary part and also then bringing in the culture and the history.
Wow. Because again, when you look at some of the recipes, it's just amazing what went into things like that when more people were cooking and elaborate dinners and things. So you go and you listen to someone tell you about the bowl or it tasted like this and you're able to recreate. That's amazing.
It's definitely a challenge. And the amazing thing is that people always remember more than they think they do. There's always, you know, some memory of a mouthfeel, a specific flavor. I watched her stir the bowl. She was, you know, people remember, oh, well, she wasn't much of a cook or, you know, he was always too busy to do this. But then as you start figuring out what they had access to at the time, you realize, well, maybe that person cooked a little bit more or a little bit less than their grandchildren thought they did, or maybe they had a specific pan, and it all comes together, you know, fairly well in the end.
And I have to ask, because again, I look at the recipes that I have, and it was almost like a pound of butter here and something there. Is it easily translated into today where people are more health conscious when they're cooking and making things like that?
I mean, I think a pound of butter is great personally, but you know, I think with these kind of recipes, they don't need to be translatable to today because that's not what made them special to people. You want them to taste like your memory. And if the memory is a pound of butter and, you know, 3 cups of salt, that's what we want to do.
Well, I like the way you think, Casey. I think you're absolutely right there. So where can people find out more about this and that would be able to see Recipe Lost and Found?
So Recipe Lost and Found airs every Friday in August on Discovery Plus and the Magnolia app. And you can get more information about the show on the Discovery Plus website.
Well, Casey, I can actually say that maybe you've sparked me now to go get the things out of the drawer and see what I can put together. So thank you for that.
I love it. Let me know if you need any help.
Oh, I would certainly, I would love your help, believe me. And you have a wonderful rest of the day and great show. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Paula.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.